that it was an odd thing that the mariners and the captain came to the conclusion that it was somebody's fault, that this storm was upon them, and not say, well, look at the weather. It suddenly changed. You know, where does weather come from? But no, they pointed to a man or a person. There's got to be a reason for this. And it comes to looking for Jonah, and there he is sleeping. Now, that's odd, too. Who would sleep on a ship like that? I wouldn't. I'd be on the rail. Honestly. You know, somewhere where I know that when the ship goes down, I can jump off into the water. But Jonah, I think he was really at peace. Why? Because he knew the living God. Strange to say, he was fleeing from God, but he also had that sense of peace. The believer should have a sense of peace within. Peace was made by the blood of the cross. But you know, if we just rest with that fact in mind, we never really learn God. And I believe this whole encounter was that not just for the sakes of the readers of the Word of God, but for Jonah as well, to experience a greater God than he'd been talking with. God is greater. He wanted to expand his understanding that he was a merciful God, a God of grace. It wasn't going to happen to a man who didn't want to hear, didn't want to perform, and slept in what he knew. No, God had to lead him through an experience. And I'm liking that to the believer. At camp, we had the verse before us that was God's expression of himself in Exodus. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Well, this isn't only just for me. This is the Lord God to the Jews and the Gentiles, as Brother Joe expressed. This is the God who made us all. And in Romans, you have the thought, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And so God was, in essence, trying to bring Jonah to a greater understanding of himself, that he was a God of mercy.
Not a period of peace and comfort and contentment. There was a lot of what was on rail here, because Jonah was sleeping complacently in himself.
True.
Complacently in himself. Mm. Not realizing that the presence of God was there. He was attempting to flee from it. Now, there is another blessed man who also slept in a ship. And that's the perfect comparison. That blessed man who slept with the storm raging around. What does he do? He is in the mind and will of God his Father. He was the perfect man. In contrast, Jonah was the man who slept because he allowed the sinful character of his own thoughts to rob him of that the presence of God.
Just wanted to add to that or make an application for us based on what we have here with Jonah asleep complacently. You know, we're living in a day that is full of tempest as well. It's very tempestuous. Economically, politically, the whole world is in a state of unrest. And what are we doing in that state? You know, as a prophet, Jonah's job is to stick out and be light and speak on behalf of God. God would give him words to bring people's hearts to God, and his job was to present those words. And he didn't want that job. It's ironic that he didn't want to be preaching to Gentiles, but he's perfectly fine to be on a ship full of Gentiles. They're all crying out to different gods, and seems to have no trouble there. You know, he didn't want to have to come home and tell his fellow friends, hey, guess what? I preached to Ninevites. Oh, what were you doing there? But he has no problem saying, guess what? I was on a boat for however long with people from all over the universe. And you should have seen the things they were doing and who they were praying to and the languages they spoke. Why is it that he's comfortable in this environment when he wouldn't be comfortable in Nineveh? And it's because he's in disguise on this ship. He's not a prophet. He's hiding his character. They don't know who he is. They'll ask him later, what's your job? Where are you from? Who are you? They don't know anything about this guy. He is content to be in the presence of these lost sinners and not even let them know his name, who he is, what he does, where he's from. Won't share the gospel with them by way of application. And we have a similar, we have an exhortation about this in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5. Just thinking of this here, from thinking of the captain's question to him, what meanest thou, sleeper? Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, even as the Christ loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And verse 8 says, for ye were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 10, proving what is agreeable to the Lord. And do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather also reprove them. And verse 13, but all things having their true character exposed by the light are made manifest, for that which makes everything manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, wake up, thou that sleepest, and arise up from among the dead, and the Christ shall shine upon thee. See, therefore, how ye walk carefully, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And so here we have a man who has that light, but is hiding it under a bushel, or we could say. He wants to darken it out. He just wants to cruise peacefully. He wants to sleep. He doesn't want to let them know what the truth is. He wants to leave it for himself. He doesn't want to be bothered. And the Lord has to deal with him on that point. So may the Lord help us as believers, as those who have the light, as prophets in that sense, living among those that are in tempest and turmoil and don't know what's going on. And may we not be sleeping, but let Christ shine on us and through us to the world around us.